Hey friends, welcome back to this week's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I'm your non-diet dietitian, trainer, and host Katie, and this is episode 328. I'm so excited for you to listen to today's guest expert interview. Emily Nichols is the host of Habit Hack Your Health, which is a top 1.5% podcast that helps working moms and entrepreneurs habit hack their health in less time, but most importantly, guilt-free. From her own struggles, Emily actually found that women have to do habits differently, and she is sharing the solutions on how to live a healthy lifestyle that doesn't feel overwhelming or complicated, but rather sustainable and empowering through the power of what she calls habit hacking. So think of it like Atomic Habits, you know, rewired. If you have ever read that book, it's a great book. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. And Emily is actually now on a mission to redefine what health really means as we are here on this show. So very much aligned. And her goal is to really equip other women with these sustainable habit hacks to help transform your life from the inside out and start putting yourself first without the guilt. So she has, of course, her podcast. She's got various programs that she'll talk about, coaching, other tools that she offers as well. She's also a wife, a boy mom to two moms, certified personal trainer, Orange Theory coach, cycle instructor, yoga teacher, behavior change specialist, and a Taco Tuesday enthusiast. All right, team, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food and their bodies. I'll also share my experience working with clients in my private practice to help women find food freedom and body confidence. I'm on a mission to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears.
Emily, welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour. We're so glad to have you.
Katie, thanks for having me.
So for listeners, kind of funny, Emily and I did a podcast swap this morning and I did a lot of talking. So now I'm very much looking forward to not doing as much of the talking and just hearing Emily's story. So Emily and I go back, we know each other outside of the podcasting studio through teaching group fitness and just the group fitness space. So I'm so excited just for our audience to learn more about you and what you specialize in, because I could talk about habits for days.
Same.
You're like, yes, obviously. So let's start by just telling us a little bit about yourself and why and how habits. Why the habit space?
Yeah, well, I started my journey kind of just with my own transformation as far as how I saw health back in 2015. I was coming from a space where I was trying to climb the corporate ladder, trying to like be the perfect like Pinterest mom for my kids. My husband was working all kinds of different shifts for work, like night shift, day shift, second shift, weekends. And his sleep really suffered because of it. And our home just felt really stressful and tense. And I was dealing with all of the pressure I was putting on myself as a working mom with really unhealthy habits, and in particularly the way I was eating. I used to drive around a lot for work and I would like, you know, stop at the grocery store and get a few things that we needed. I'm like, oh, I'll get these cookies like for the kids. And I'd get home a few hours later and the package would be gone. And I was hiding it under my seat because I felt shameful, which I really didn't need to. And in all reality, what I learned was, well, that was just a habit. And I was dealing with, you know, the way that I felt by, you know, soothing with sugar for me. That's what I kind of found out just through my own journey. So kind of going back, rewinding to that time, we were kind of like, okay, we need a change. We're not setting the best example for our kids because our home didn't feel light and airy. And I wanted to give them at that time, they're 15 and 11 now, examples of what healthy eating looked like. And when I say healthy, I mean like being able to eat foods that fuel your body and foods that fuel your soul. Like let's have cookies and ice cream after dinner because it's delicious and it's fun. So we really just dug deep into our eating habits and what was triggering stressors in my life to deal with it that way. And I felt so empowered. I was doing it with my husband, which you, that might work out for some people, that might not, as far as, you know, just looking at our habits around our food. And it just really snowballed from there because I felt more energy and I felt more energy to move my body because then I wanted to move my body. And in turn, that gave me more time back because I had even more energy from there. And I really started digging deep into reading books, listening to podcasts, listening to tons of books about habits. Because what I really realized over time was, wow, what I've done is really created really unique habit hacks for myself to make this work in my crazy busy life as a working mom. I was getting up early to work out, like at 5 a.m., just working out in my living room. I would go to work. I would find ways to move or remind myself to drink water. It's okay to have a piece of candy from someone's candy dish. And from there, I started teaching group fitness because I fell in love with it. And I find most group fitness instructors, you get turned on to it. You're like, I love it. How can I help other folks feel this amazing? And as I was coaching folks, got my like personal training certification, I realized, you know, I work a lot with women. It was like, well, we know what to do. We know what to do. We got to move our bodies. We got to eat to fuel our bodies and soul. We got to talk nicer to ourselves. But it was like, well, how the heck do I do that? They're like, just to even take that on for me felt really overwhelming. And for folks that I talked to, it felt even more overwhelming. And at the time, I was really leaning into like James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. And I was like, I love the strategies he's teaching there. I went on to get a certification as a behavior change specialist, but I kind of take it from approach as what I call as Atomic Habits for Women, where we're really getting creative with habit hacking our health in a way that isn't like, okay, I'm going to go do an hour long workout. Sounds good, right? Well, for me, it's like, okay, well, I got to, you know, get dressed. I got to see what my kids are doing. Okay, I got to go there. Okay, I'm going to do the workout. Okay, I'm going to come home. Now I need to shower. And oh, I got a call coming up. And oh, I got to get my kids on the bus. It wasn't so simple for me as it was like for my husband, and not to discredit him as a father or a husband, because he does so much for our family. I think just as women, we carry such an invisible load.
You read my brain. I was just going to say that, you know, as listeners know, I'm 6 months into the postpartum journey and I've been listening to a lot of podcasts on the invisible world.
It's just naturally by nature, like how we are as women and when we become mothers. And as my children have gotten older, I've had to really habit hack my own health in different seasons of my life as my career has changed, as they've gotten bigger and their needs are different now versus when they were little, in order to still continue to take care of my health. So I am patient for them. I am present for them. And I always say I'm training for life. Like I want them to go off and be young adults and be amazing human beings and have like self-care as part of like their lifestyle, and modeling that for them. And my husband and I do. But also I want to like be like an awesome grandma and be able to like do cool stuff and go travel with my husband. And that's going to take energy. And I don't want to diet. I don't want to like move my body like as punishment. I want to move for joy. I want to eat foods that I love and nurture myself. And I want to just live life. And for me, it starts with my health, but I just have to do it differently as a busy working mom. And that's kind of where the podcast came into play. That's where I started coaching women, as far as we have a program called the Healthy Habits Accelerator, where we just dig deep into particular challenges around food freedom, around movement and mindset from the female perspective. But let's say instead of just like, oh, we're going to go to a class, it's like, well, let's think about this a little bit differently and how you can actually make this work in your life without it opening another tab in your head.
You touched on so many things, and I want to come back to your experience as well as a group fitness instructor. But first, can you define for us, what do you consider a habit hack? And what are some examples of those?
Yeah. So a hack is like a quick tip. It's just like a really quick tip to really help accelerate your results. One of my favorite habit hacks, I should like trademark it at this point. It's so silly, but most moms are going to relate to this. This is how I think of a habit hack. So say you want to incorporate more movement in throughout your day. Usually you think, okay, well, I'm going to go work out. Well, it's like, well, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way where you're like, I'm just going to go work out. So we do something called pee squat. So you're staying hydrated. You're going to go potty like 10 times a day. Okay, well, let's do 10 squats every time after you flush, you wash your hands, do 10 squats. Over a day's time, like if you go potty 10 times, that's 100 squats, right? Versus if I was to stand here and do 100 squats back to back to back, that'd be a little more challenging, right? My form would falter. My quads would just burn out.
It's get distracted.
Oh yeah. My kid would come up and be like, mom, like, where's one of the chargers at? You know, it would just, something would happen or I would have some type of internal distraction. Cause I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, look how dirty this bathroom floor is. I need to mop it right now. Like that's just how our brains work. So breaking it down small little pieces like that, it's a silly example, but it really sticks in people's heads. Cause it's like, oh, well, that seems a lot more simple versus, you know, traditionally what we think of as far as like working out or a meal prep or, you know, reading a book or whatnot. So it makes it a lot more attainable and super tiny and easy. And it almost triggers something in your brain, Katie, where you're like, wow, I got a quick win. I'm succeeding. What else can I do? And it just builds so much momentum from there.
Yeah, it's getting the quick wins as a catalyst for maybe other areas of your life. So you mentioned fitness, and I'm sure we, you know, we of course could talk fitness and nutrition all day, but I want to zoom out for a minute and just get your perspective on why do you believe, especially from your experience, it's so difficult for people to not just create habits, but to form habits and maintain them?
From the fitness perspective?
Just in general.
Yeah, I think we a lot of times, we have an all or nothing mentality a lot of times, right? We're trying to do it all and we have really high expectations of ourselves. And as women, like I mentioned, there's a lot of internal and external distractions and you have the best of intentions, right? Like, you know, maybe this afternoon I want to go ride my Peloton for 30 minutes. I have it scheduled in my calendar at noon. I'm going to go do it. But whoopsie, my boss, you know, called and wants to do a call at that time. Or I got a call from my kid's school. He's sick or he forgot his cross-country shoes. So I got to go run him up to school. These are all real life examples, by the way. And so then I don't do it. So then maybe the next day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try again the next day. And things happen. And then over time, what you realize is now I haven't worked out at all this week. Well, I'm just not going to do anything. It's just too hard. My life is just too chaotic. Versus taking a step back and being like, well, maybe noon just isn't a good time for me to work out. Maybe I need to do it at a different time. Maybe I need to, you know, give that responsibility to someone else or not answer that call from my boss and be like, no, this was the time I had blocked off on my calendar and set a healthy boundary. So a lot of times it's kind of like we want to do it all, but when we can't because all these distractions start happening, then we just do nothing. Then we're in this constant loop of just like frustrated. And really, it's just not our fault. We just have to do it a little bit differently and get a little more creative. So when starting a new habit, like I said, it feels overwhelming, right? I always give the example of like on my laptop, I have a lot of tabs open.
Oh gosh, mine is terrifying right now.
So I had my palms were sweaty last week. My husband got on my laptop and he closed all of my tabs.
Oh gosh.
And he was like, babe, this is ridiculous. Like you have too many. I was like, these are all things that I'm working at that I don't want to forget. Or I'm always going back to this Google Drive and
Tell me you're an entrepreneur without telling me you're an entrepreneur.
Right. And he closed them all and I felt my palms getting sweaty. And I told him, I was like, this is what I feel like my head looks like. A lot of times I have all of these tabs open. It's not just like for the podcast, like for a class I'm going to go teach, for a client, for my group program. It's like, oh, I have this, you know, web page up for this event I think my son would like to go get, or I need to get football tickets for this kiddo to go to this. It's so many things. So to even think of like, okay, well, I'm going to write, you know, I'm going to make a workout plan for myself for the week. That's opening another tab and that feels overwhelming. So if we kind of just take a step back and think, okay, when is going to be the best time? What are some ways I can take away the distractions within reason? And if it doesn't work out at that time or doing that activity, okay, that's data. Let's try it again another way.
All or nothing. It's such a common theme in a lot of my clients. I know in a lot of our listeners, because that's who is listening to these things, or people who, you know, want to get better habits because they want a quick fix, a way to, you know, to shortcut something. But what I'm hearing you saying is that sometimes we have to slow down to speed up. And sometimes that means taking a step back. And I like how you said analyzing and removing things within reason, recognizing that there's some things and some seasons of life that pieces may just be out of your control, and that's okay.
Yeah, we have a habit hacking system. And the last step is to give yourself grace and think about what your capacity is today and have like a backup plan in the back of your head. So going back to like that example, I'm going to work out, I'm going to ride my Peloton at noon. You know what, hit the fan, it didn't happen. I always have in the back of my head a backup plan. It's like, okay, well, I'm just going to like stretch for 5 minutes before bed. I have 5 minutes before bed. I can just do that. That's something, right? And that still triggers in your mind like, okay, I had a capacity habit today where I just needed to stretch. That was my backup plan. Okay, I did something.
Or I'm curious if you see this as well, especially working with, you know, particularly women who like fitness, right? That's something that comes easy to them. They enjoy it. So What advice do you have for somebody who maybe they feel like, oh, I've got fitness down, and they're feeling really frustrated because they can't seem to form habits or keep habits in other areas of their life?
Yeah. I have some friends like this, right? Like they're just like, fitness just comes easy to me, right? They're like, it's just something like they need it for internal reasons more so than, you know, any type of physical benefits. I think it's really to step back and think about, okay, well, if the fitness part is coming easy to you, what are you struggling with when it comes to maybe your own food freedom or mindset habits? Those are just the three areas I focus on. If it's for food freedom, it's like, well, you know, I'm trying to make these big elaborate meals for my family every night. And I don't know about you, but I cannot follow a 20 million step recipe. I just cannot. So make it easy on yourself, right? Like just think of like, okay, I do something called ingredient meals where I have different ingredients ready to go, like a protein, a veggie, like a healthy fat and some type of carb, and boom, 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 put it all together, a beautiful sauce on top. You're great and you're good to go. And that's something you don't have to think about. But also when it comes to mindset habits, you know, doing some, incorporating some other habit tools, which you talked about this on my show as well, like habit stacking other things on top of that. So if you're really struggling with mindset, maybe you listen to a podcast while you're working out because you're able to stack on something else. It's not necessarily multitasking where your brain is like, boop, 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 boop. You're more open. You're more willing to receive the message. I feel like when you're working out, you have all those happy hormones running through your body too, where you're able to, okay, I'm going to work on this, on mindset, and listen to a great podcast while I'm riding my Peloton or going for a walk today. And that will eventually become a habit in itself as well. So it's kind of taking a step back, think, well, why is this working for me? How can I incorporate this with other healthy habits in my life?
Why is this working for me? And how can I take this and other habits? I love that. So, you know, kind of on the flip side of that too, how can people avoid the all or nothing mentality when it comes to habits? You know, we see these challenges like 75 hard. And, you know, I was going through a business thing recently, which was doing a similar challenge. And it was like, if you don't hit all five things, restart start from day one. And I would love your thoughts. Like, you know, is that helpful or does that just create discouragement in us? Discouragement or discipline?
I think it depends on
grace versus grit,
right? I think it depends on your personality, right? When I have a challenge like that, like for what really stuck for me, as far as like when I really started digging deep into like healthy habits around food was having accountability with my husband, right? Having some type of accountability with me. So if you need accountability, yeah, maybe like some type of program or challenge like they're doing at their gym, but stepping back and asking yourself, is this going to be like super inconvenient? Am I going to like hate my life during it as well? And it's not going to be fun anymore. And also, could I see myself doing this sustainably beyond 75 days, 30 days? And if you're like, yeah, I could do that. Okay, great. If that is what's going to motivate you and that's going to help you, great. If, in most cases though, Katie, I'm sure you agree, it's not going to be sustainable. Like 75 part is not sustainable. There, I said it. But you know, for some folks, maybe you need something like that to kickstart it, but taking a step back and being like, this is maybe kickstarting some healthy habits. I can pick and choose what maybe felt really good and what's fun and what I feel like could be sustainable and take it from there.
Yeah. If you analyze it and think it can be sustainable, at least in the season of your life, then it might be a habit worth pursuing. But if not, you know, I was talking to a friend about this similar situation because we talk about this on the podcast all the time because we have, you know, a lot of listeners who they struggle with the all or nothing mentality, right? Eat this, not that, very black and white thinking. And so when they go through the intuitive eating process, they start to learn, okay, no, I can have structure with flexibility, but then it gets to a point where they've healed their relationship with food and fitness in their body that it's, you know, you're kind of back to this, okay, well, what's that balance? What's that balance of having discipline today, you know, getting up and doing the workout versus listening to my body? You know, I think it is sometimes a fine line and sometimes is gray, but I love that you brought up just, is it sustainable? And that's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When do you find that, so, you know, kind of going off of that, for you, when do you find that this process of forming a new habit becomes unhealthy? Or is there a point where someone just needs to go, okay, I need to move on. I need to stop, you know, forcing it or beating myself up? Or what are some of those trends that maybe you see with the people that you work with?
Yeah. So there's a lot of tools you can use when you start tracking a habit. Like I mentioned, kind of taking a step back and being like, okay, is this time of day just not working? Do I need to do it a different time of day? Do I need to do a different activity? Do I just not need to do this at all? Because like, it's super inconvenient, not only to me, to my family. You know, I've worked, mm-hmm. I've seen folks kind of like go with super, super hard. And they're like, this is working out really, really good. I'm working out an hour and a half a day. I'm doing this, this, this. But then you go into maybe a new season of life or you know, I'm 42. So like what I used to do 10 years ago doesn't work for me anymore in the season of life I am. And then the body I'm in now too. And I think it's important to step back and be like, okay, well, I think what gets discouraging is it's not working anymore. Because you can't go at 110 miles per hour anymore at that level. You just cannot. And that's okay. And stepping back and be like, okay, well, this needs to work out a little bit differently for me as far as like what the actual habit is. Tracking is a really great way to gather data though, to kind of look maybe over like a 21 day to a 30 day period. We have printable habit trackers. We have like a Google Sheet habit tracker in our shop for you to really take a look at, okay, the facts. The data, because I think a lot of times we have feelings where we're like, this habit just isn't sticking. And then you look at the data and you're like, oh, well, I did it 3 times this week. Like that's great. Versus like, oh my gosh, I didn't do it every day. Right. You can see those data points and be like, okay, well, maybe I don't want to do it 7 days a week. Maybe I just want to, you know, meal prep 3 days a week. You know, and kind of thinking of that as like, here's the data. Now I need to take that data and eventually you don't even have to track anymore because maybe it becomes an unconscious habit, right? Like brushing your teeth. You don't track brushing your teeth every day. Mm-hmm. You do with real little kiddos when they're just learning to like brush their teeth, right? And that's because we want them to have a form that as a habit. It's the same mm-hmm. thing as an adult creating a habit as well. So gathering those data points by using like a habit tracker or just like checking off on your Google Calendar or paper planner, I think is really great to give you data versus just the feelings, but also stepping back and looking at it like, this is just awful. I really don't like doing this and mm-hmm. stepping back and doing something else instead. And that's okay.
Speaking of, so separating like the data from the emotion. And I love that you gave that brushing your teeth example, because on your podcast earlier, we talked about like disrupting a habit, and it just made me think of like, as a new mom in those first early weeks, that was like threw me off, because there were quite a few days, I hate to admit it, but I'm going to keep it real, where I would get to the end of the day and I'm like, I didn't even brush my teeth today. Girl. Because my habit of getting out of bed was so disrupted, because it was like not even getting out of bed, you straight into grabbing the baby. Yeah. And then getting out of bed and then just zooming into the day and really powering through, realizing, oh my goodness, I haven't even brushed my teeth. And I think it's just a great example of how habits can be so ingrained, but we need to continue to adapt them within the season of life and recognize, right. Like, again, it's such a silly example, but I had to go, why, what is this? What is happening? What is not happening? So then I had to just take a step back and go, okay, this is what I'm going to do now. This is now my morning. You know, I set the baby in the carrier and then I brushed my teeth right at some point before we go downstairs.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny you said that. I can so relate. When I had my first son, like I remember my husband would come home someday and he'd be like, did you even like shower? Like you're in the same position I left you this morning. You're still in your pajamas. And I'm like, number one, don't say that again to me. And number two, yes, I have not brushed my teeth or moved from this. Like I've peed like and like pumped and like nursed all day. That's all I've done. Like, God love it.
It also makes me think about just going back to the basics, you know, for someone who is listening and they're overwhelmed with like, what habit do I pick up next? Like, what do I start with? And going back to that foundation of just self-care, that can be so powerful. Like for me as a new mom, that was kind of, I created this new standard of, okay, I need to brush my teeth and I need to change my clothes. I need to get out of these pajamas. And that was such a catalyst for just starting to feel like myself again.
Well, you kind of think of that hierarchy of needs, right? At the bottom of the pyramid are your basic fundamental needs. If you're not taking care of yourself, everything else will crumble, right? When mm-hmm. I had my second son, my youngest was just a couple weeks old. Then I started taking my oldest to daycare and getting him back into a routine. I was getting up and like showering. I like put mascara on because I had to go like inside to like drop him off and like, I had my routine and my habits set in place. And honestly, I felt more alive just because I was taking care of myself, but I had mm-hmm. to create that habit over again. But I was also very motivated by them too.
Yeah. So interesting. What is a habit that you're currently working towards?
So I am in the midst of doing my 200-hour yoga teacher training certification.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
And it's a lot of work. It's 200 hours. So I was like, okay, like every Sunday, I'm going to like just study for like 2 hours and then like sprinkle it in every night, like throughout the week. That was not sustainable for me. So I had to really kind of take a step back and kind of habit hack it in a way where like Sundays, my oldest is really busy. He'll usually go golf and he plays on the worship team, his guitar for church. And my oldest usually will go do some outdoor activity with my husband and they do that purposely. So it gives me time to like work on that and study. But I had to ask and set that boundary and look and think, okay, this is like a really good day for me to do this. And I actually have like a whole habit loop around it where like I have a certain notebook, a certain pen I use. I put a blanket over me and I sit on the couch and I have like my drink and like my hot drink and I'm all cozy. My dog usually lays next to me. Those are my cues. And then I study, which is the routine, and the reward on the other side is like, wow, I'm making progress on this.
Something you mentioned this earlier in the episode that I want to point out too is asking the question of how is this habit impacting not just myself, but also my family. Mm-hmm. And you just gave a great example of, if it's not working, it could also be because your environment or the people around you. Yeah. And it might not be that it's not working. It's that you just have to verbalize and ask for what you need. And it's as simple as that. And it sounds like you were able to just ask your family and they said, yeah, okay, no problem. And then
yeah,
totally. There we go.
We make it bigger in our heads though. Like, oh my gosh, like
I so much bigger. We are so dramatic in our heads.
And they're like, okay.
Yeah. They're like, okay, is that it? It becomes this huge thing in our head. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. Okay, Emily, last question I have for you, and then we'll share, you know, where people can find you. But what is the best thing that's happened to you this week?
This week, well, our family just got back from Florida. So we go to Destin every year for fall break. And it's
I love Destin.
Well, my oldest is a sophomore and we've been going since he was in kindergarten. And they just live for it. And it's so fun. Like, cause every year when we're there, like my memories come up on my phone and it's just so cool to see how much they've grown and how much they just, and our whole family just lives. There's so many other families that go, like my parents and my husband's parents go too. And the kids have brought friends over the years. And it's just really special to have that memory with them. And I totally unplug. I don't work at all. I just like go and like walk on the beach and have a margarita and like just go in the ocean and sleep in. And it's just magical. And everyone's just like living their best lives. So that was definitely the best thing in the past week.
Yes, that sounds absolutely glorious. I love that so much. Where do you like to hang out? Where can listeners find you, especially if they want to learn more about how they can create better habits for themselves?
Sure. So you can always go to Habit Hack Your Health, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Everything's linked there to connect with me. And of course, you have a lot of freebies on there as well around movement, food freedom, and mindset work, all around habit hacking for like a busy millennial mom. And of course, you can find me on Instagram at EmilyNichols22, where I share some behind the scenes stuff in my stories.
And we will absolutely link to all those, all the things in the show notes. And Emily, appreciate you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Katie.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.